This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa getting ready to pummel Jamaica as a Category 5 storm, the strongest to hit the island since record-keeping began more than 170 years ago. On day 28 of the federal government shutdown, and with food assistance benefits about to run out for around 40 million Americans, some are getting desperate.
Food pantries even popping up at airports across the country to help struggling TSA agents and air traffic controllers forced to work without pay. Nearly 11,000 air traffic controllers like Peter Lefevre missing their first full paycheck.
The prospect of going another pay period without pay is weighing on the minds of myself and all the people that I work with.
Pay stubs obtained by ABC News showing $0.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Amazon has announced 14,000 corporate layoffs. Company says it's doing well but has to look toward the future and the opportunities opened up by the development of AI. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Social Security Administration announced that Social Security benefits, including old age, survivors, and disability insurance, and supplemental security income payments for 75 million Americans will increase 2.8% in 2026. On average, Social Security retirement benefits will increase by about $56 per month starting in January. Over the last decade, the cost of living adjustment increase has averaged about 3.1%. The COLA was 2.5% in 2025. Nearly 71 million Social Security beneficiaries will see a 2.8% COLA beginning in January 2026. Increased payments to nearly 7.5 million people receiving SSI will begin on December 31, 2025. Other adjustments that take effect in January of each year are based on the increase in average wages. Based on that increase, the maximum amount of earnings subject to the Social Security tax is slated to increase to $184,500 from $176,100. Social Security begins notifying people about their new benefit amount by mail starting in early December. Similar to last year, Social Security beneficiaries will receive a simplified one-page COLA notice, which uses plain and personalized language and provides exact dates and dollar amounts of an individual's new benefit amount and any deductions. Individuals who have My Social Security accounts can view their COLA notices online, which is secure, easy, and faster than receiving a letter in the mail. Account holders can set up text or email alerts when they receive a new message, such as their COLA notice.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, to playing from behind. It's the NBA. Stuff's gonna happen. At times you can find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, if we want to be, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we gotta, really embrace, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And there's no excuses in this league. It doesn't matter who's out there. We all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WRCE in the app and the news comes to you.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 59 this afternoon with wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers likely. Our low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, There's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football.
To hear that the coaches aren't fostering those relationships at the high schools, that has been the heartbeat of the team before Fickell's time. I got recruited other places, but I chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me. If it means something to you, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, childcare remains a big issue in Wisconsin, around the country. Corrine Hendrickson will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north at 8:06 on a Tuesday morning, October 28th. Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom is standing by, and Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner will be joining us in our next half hour. Along the way, feel free to join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or use that Civic Media app to call us, to text us, to leave us a voice note, or just come say hello or ask a question in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube, where you can watch the show. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages, and let us know your thoughts about what's going on. That includes in the nation's capital, where you can always learn more through Cam Stevenson's Below the Beltway newsletter. Sign up at beltway.news or through couriernewsroom.com for dispatches from Capitol Hill. His latest notes that an elections lawsuit could lead to the Epstein files being made public or kept hidden, and the case was just handed to a Trump-appointed judge. One of many things we will be asking Cam about as he joins us now from Washington, D.C. Cam Stevenson, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat, good morning. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I see the temporary housing is coming along nicely. There's now a plant.
Our plants are doing well. You know, the furnishings that came with it are really bringing the place together. Trying to find some more green to add to the
yes.
Scene.
Well, you see, it's flourishing. Unlike, you know, say the east wing of the White House. Have you wandered out to see the wrecking crew in action?
As best as I could. It's a very interesting, I guess, at best, and depressing at worst scene over there. In the sense that normally around the White House, it's a very public space. People can walk around, and there's green areas and park benches and, you know, statues and all these sort of things you can walk by and kind of walk through living history. But that's not really how it's set up anymore. Once the Trump administration somehow realized after the fact how bad it looked that they were taking bulldozers to the section of the White House, they not only blocked off that part visibly, you know, with high covered fences so you couldn't see, they also started to block off the surrounding walkways, you know, some of the little park areas and places where people used to just kind of sit and have their lunch. And so I was able to find a few spots to get a vantage point where I could see what was going on. Not much anymore. It's just a pile of rubble. They, you know, the White House, they found a loophole that said that they didn't need any permits to tear things down, but they do need permits and, you know, zoning permissions to put things up. And so now it is just down for the foreseeable future.
Of course it is. Of course the loophole didn't work the way they fully intended. And regardless, you know, as things are needing to be demolished and then needing to be rebuilt, these things cost money. It just seems an interesting way to allocate resources when we're not allocating resources to things like healthcare, you know, feeding families, yeah, things like that. You've been looking at the numbers.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think on the one hand, it's very hypocritical for the administration to say that the ballroom is being paid for by donations, and so that's, you know, that's a non-issue. But then we're also taking donations to fund our military during the shutdown. I think that's just an odd dichotomy, but we can't take donations for, you know, for SNAP benefits so kids can eat at school, or so that the million plus federal workers working for without pay right now could actually get a paycheck. But yeah, I found throughout investigating how these donations were going to the ballroom, and found that even though they are donations from outside private organizations, we as taxpayers are still paying for that, because they're going through a 501c3 nonprofit, the Foundation of the National Mall Trust.
Okay.
But it's the Trust of the National Mall. It's a nonprofit, which means the millions of dollars people are donating, they'll get it as a tax write-off next year. And so, and we're the ones who pay for those.
So they make the donation, they get the tax write-off, we still end up paying the bill for this.
Yes. And for all we know, there's not really going to be a ballroom. There's no actual plans. There's only these moldings that the president likes to show off. There's no blueprints. There's no schematics. And this would take a lot of planning, because there are also tunnels underground, safety tunnels, security measures, bunker facilities. You can't just slap a few pieces of plywood on it and call it a ballroom.
I recall, showing my age now, but once upon a time, there was going to be a new U.S. embassy in Moscow. And they finally had to tear the building down because they realized that throughout the construction, it was being riddled with listening devices and other literal spyware. And I am just suspicious enough of Trump's ties to Putin and the secrecy involved that whoever the next president is, and you know, we all keep praying there will be a next president, that thing is going to need some serious review once Trump is out of office to make sure that, you know, goodness. Well, first off, the place is going to need a good decontamination, but that includes for, you know, any electronic surveillance and things like that. Not necessarily to benefit, you know, Russia, but to benefit, you know, Trump personally, corporate donations, corporate donors, things like that. The whole thing just stinks to high heaven. And it is all, and yet, despite all of those concerns, it remains a distraction from things that should have more significance, not just reopening the federal government, but things like the Epstein files. And that leads us to an article that you have at Beltway.news about how a lawsuit about elections could lead to the Epstein files being made public or kept hidden. And an interesting choice of which judge got the case here, Cam.
Yeah, of all the judges in D.C., we get the Federalist Society one. But this is the case with Representative-elect Adelita Grijalva. She was elected to be in Congress over a month ago. Speaker Mike Johnson has refused to swear her in and seat her. He's made up a bunch of different reasons and excuses. The main thing is that there's no reason for her not to be sworn in. And one of the reasons people are speculating, and the longer it goes, the more likely it looks like, is that she would be the final vote to force the release of the Epstein files to the public.
And the speaker, I mean, to put it charitably, is wrong, or to be less charitable, making stuff up in terms of reasons not to swear her in, reasons why they can't use supplemental USDA funds to pay for SNAP benefits, and a host of other things. I mean, if there is a poster child for Congress essentially abdicating its responsibilities, it's whatever comes out of Speaker Mike Johnson's mouth.
And that seems like that's exactly what he's doing, is essentially not working for the people, but just finding ways to strengthen the executive branch, specifically under Trump. Even like what you said, the refusal to pay for SNAP benefits or finding some way to fund certain programs, while praising the Trump administration for using private donors to fund other parts of the federal government. That's a type of corporatism that we saw under Mussolini, where they use corporations to fund certain things that benefited this nationalist ideal of what a government should be.
Oh, and in Hungary in this day and era, again, part of Viktor Orban's rise to power hasn't been direct government takeover of things like media and other groups and institutions, but through, again, very wealthy friends who then, you know, quote unquote, donate those facilities, you know, for the government to use. Well, as long as the government is in the hands of their buddy, their pal. And, you know, again, we should not be normalizing that here. So the elections lawsuit is there. It's a Trump appointed judge who's going to look at it. Court date coming up in a couple of days yet this week, right?
Yep. It's the first appointment set for it is on the 30th. I've reached out. The lawsuit is by Adelita Grijalva and then the state of Arizona through their attorney general, Chris Mays. I reached out to Attorney General Mays's office, and they will be here on the 30th. And so I'm coordinating to see if I'm I probably won't be allowed in the courtroom. They usually don't allow press in for these meetings, but I'll definitely be outside, and we'll be giving updates as to what happens next.
All right. So you can get updates on that at beltway.news for the Below the Beltway newsletter. In Wisconsin yesterday, we had an interesting release by Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance giving specific numbers on just how high health insurance premiums are going to go starting Saturday, the date when open enrollment begins for health insurance policies under the Affordable Care Act in the marketplace. I don't want to reduce all of this to messaging, you know, Democratic messaging versus Republican messaging. The fact of the matter is that message coming from Democrats like Governor Evers is based in real numbers that says this is going to be the real impact of this government shutdown and Republicans protecting corporate insurance profits rather than trying to make healthcare more affordable. What's your assessment of whether that kind of messaging is happening from Democrats in D.C., or are they more stuck in process, or are they basically are they silent? What is it that's happening in terms of communicating the shutdown in D.C. this week?
Yeah, so mainly what Democrats are doing is they've been traveling back and forth between D.C. To try and pressure Republicans to come back, and then also traveling back to their home districts to let people know what's going on. And their messaging throughout the shutdown, I feel like, has been fairly consistent. But it's one of those things where it almost requires a slow burn because, you know, they can say that premiums are going to go up, and there's a certain segment of the population that's going to believe them and a certain segment of the population that isn't. And then another bigger segment that doesn't hear them at all because they don't listen. You know, they don't want to hear from politicians. But the one thing everyone will hear from is their insurance company. You know, it doesn't matter what the message is. When I get my paycheck and there's 300 fewer dollars in it because my healthcare premiums have gone up, that speaks louder than anything anyone, you know, Speaker Johnson can say at a podium or what, you know, a member of Congress can say in a town hall.
No, it's extremely true. And much like the last shutdown came to an end in 2019, only after, you know, there were enough air traffic controllers who didn't come in and the flight delays began piling up. And we're hearing the rumblings of that happening now. And I'm not saying it's going to be air travel again. It may just be the health insurance premiums. But you're right, Cam. It's that slow burn of real life impact. And then people either calling their congressman's office or, you know, showing up at meetings and saying, you know, that's enough of this. And Republicans still think enough of that pressure is going to be on Democrats to be the ones to cave. And I from my standpoint here in Wisconsin, I'm not seeing any signs of that yet. I mean, Democrats definitely feel like they're on the you know, they've got the moral high ground in this.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest problems is that is, again, these information bubbles that we all live in, you know, Democrats and Republicans. But we're seeing it especially that Republicans under this current administration are intensely online. They'd rather post memes and make fun of people on social media rather than meet with constituents. That's something that will, it takes something more drastic to break through. And I think people running out of food, it could do that. And I think people not being able to travel during the holidays And coupled with the fact that the National Guard won't even get to go home for the holidays because right. they're stuck.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen bread riots in the past. I think we might be looking at some turkey riots.
Could be. Watch for that. Cam Stevenson, go to beltway.news for more. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. And we will have Ruth Conner from the Wisconsin Examiner coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good news! You get an extra hour this weekend. Daylight saving time ends, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back, sleep in, and start your Sunday refreshed. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am Phil Nee with a look at Southwestern Wisconsin sports. The Richland Center Ithaca cross country teams preparing for a run at state tournament coming up this Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids. Here is head coach Eric Mindum.
It's going to be fun this week where normally it's just about a guy or two or three if you're lucky, and have a whole team there that's got something to compete for, something to go and work for. And they're already talking about their goals for this next week and hoping that they can put together a good race and the state championship meet.
The coach of Richland Center Ithaca Cross Country, Eric Mindum. Lots of area runners will be a part of that, including Boscobel's Bodie Bright in Division III, Marshall Harris Lancaster, Hillsboro's Dominic Kirkpatrick, and Prairie du Chien's Sam Kramer. The Fenimore team will also be involved. They made it as a Division III qualifier. Division II runners include Evan DeBurr and Gabe Engel. DeBurr of Platteville and Engel of Dodgeville, Mineral Point. Johnny Robinson of Dodgeville, Mineral Point will run at state. Also, Mauston's team will be in Division II, qualifying from the same sectionals as Richland Center Ithaca. Division III girls, including Elizabeth Curtis of Westby, Royals Caitlin Field, and Bangor's Kenley Golnick. The Darlington girls team makes it to state, and individual qualifiers in Division II for girls, Peyton Christopher, Dodgeville Mineral Point, along with Lancaster's Maddie Driscoll and Kylie Olmstead, River Valley's Molly Mace, and Aaliyah Schwem of Viroqua will run at Wisconsin Rapids coming up on Saturday. The Richland Valley All-Conference 8-player football teams have been announced. First team all-conference, North Crawford's Colin Jacobus at quarterback. Tyler Kissimore of Belmont, a running back, along with DeSoto's Austin DeFlorian. Landon Blaha of North Crawford. Cash Carlson of Wonewoc Center Weston. And Levi Trutman of Monticello. Wide receivers, Cody Kletica of Belmont and Jackson Trussoni DeSoto. The tight end, Gavin Tamling of North Crawford. All-conference center, Trenton Paulson, Belmont. Caden North Belmont on the line, along with DeSoto's John Sagrove, Highlands Tanner Degenhardt, Wonewoc Center Weston's Trevor Westfall. All-purpose players, Bryce Schultz of DeSoto, who is also named All-Conference First Team Kicker. First team defense for the eight player in the Ridge and Valley, Gavin Tamling of North Crawford and Highlands Tanner Degenhardt, DeSoto's John Sagrove on the line, along with Belmont's Trenton Paulson, Bryce Schultz DeSoto, Colin Jacobus, and Landon Blaha of North Crawford, linebackers, Belmont's Tyler Kissimore, DeSoto's Jackson Trussoni, Sawyer Stoluka of North Crawford, Caden Washa on the defensive secondary for Highland, and Finn Roble of DeSoto, the all-conference first team punter. Second team players include Wyatt Temperley of Belmont at quarterback, Caden Washa Highland at quarterback, and Finn Roble DeSoto quarterback. Brady Nanke of Highland, along with Adric Eggy of Kickapoo LaFarge, North Crawford's Landry Stoluka, and Highland's Jack Terrell, along with Wisconsin Heights' Zach Sanders, make the second team all-conference offense. Belmont's Chase Rikers, and the center is Connor Durst of North Crawford, Reese Sizer of North Crawford, Wisconsin Heights' Noah Morrow is named all-conference lineman, along with Griffin Hansen of DeSoto, Wisconsin Heights' Evan Cribbs, an all-purpose player, Levi Trutman of Monticello, and the kicker on the second team, Quinn Payne, Wisconsin Heights. Second team defense, DeSoto's Finn Roble and Thomas Freeman of Belmont, a defensive end, Trent Nanke of Highland on the line, along with Wonewoc Center Weston's Trevor Westfall, Griffin Hansen of DeSoto, Gavin Olson, Wonewoc Center Weston, all-conference second team linebacker. Defensive backs, Griffin McNett, Belmont, and Adric Eggy, Kickapoo LaFarge, the all-conference second team punter, Quinn Payne, Wisconsin Heights. The All-Conference Sportsmanship Team, Josiah Ruiz, Belmont, Griffin Hansen, DeSoto, Jack Terrell, Highland, Landon Lair, Kickapoo LaFarge, Milo Smith, Monticello, North Crawford's A.J. Anderson, Wisconsin Heights' Evan Cribbs, and Wonewoc Center Weston's Jack Birdie. Special awards were given out as well, including the Player of the Year, Colin Jacobus, North Crawford, the Offensive Player of the Year, Tyler Kissimore, Belmont, Defensive Players of the Year. There were co-awards there, North Crawford's Gavin Tamling and DeSoto's Bryce Schultz, the All-Conference Lineman of the Year, Gavin Tamling, North Crawford, the All-Conference Coach of the Year, North Crawford's Jeremy Fredette. The Trojans are still involved in the postseason for eight player, and the Assistant Coach of the Year, Belmont's Matt McKinley. In the Major Bowling League, Lonesome Dove Tavern had the top series 35-17, New York Life a 34-42, Mill Creek Pub and Grill a 34-21. Top game, Lonesome Dove Tavern a 12-55, Mill Creek Pub and Grill 11-92, Cardinal CG 11-84. Top series, Corey Davis and Derek Calland each had 6-58s. Todd Gruber with a 6.32, Jake Morris a 6.24. Top game, Corey Davis with a 2.47, Derek Calland had a 2.35, and Kevin Jasper a 2.32. Additional highlights, Tim Callen with a 5.77 series, 91 over average. The L&M Salvage team won the first quarter by a quarter of a point over the Cardinal CG team. Members of the L&M Salvage team are Scott Dilley, Gary Bushley, Brandon DeBeichler, along with Andre Jensen, Will Barassa, and Travis Bushley. Freddie Freeman homered leading off the bottom of the 18th inning. Shohei Ohtani went deep twice during another record-setting performance, and the Dodgers outlasted the Blue Jays 6-5 in a World Series Classic. The defending champion Dodgers took a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven matchup and still have a chance to win the title at home. The game lasted 6 hours, 39 minutes, and matched the longest by innings in postseason history. And Shohei Ohtani, with a total of 4 extra base hits in Game 3, and he drew 5 consecutive walks. He's the first major leaguer in 83 years to reach base 9 times in any games, let alone the postseason. Patrick Mahomes threw for 299 yards and 3 touchdowns, and the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Commanders 28-7. The game was tied at halftime, but Mahomes was nearly perfect after the break. Kareem Hunt found the end zone twice for Kansas City. One of Mahomes' touchdown passes was to Travis Kelce, giving him 83 scores. That ties Priest Holmes for the Chiefs' overall career record. It is a pleasure to update you on sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings here on WRCE. I'm Phil Nee, and we'll join you again tomorrow at the same time. Enjoy your day and temperatures in the upper 50s later.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WRCE is your home for real news and great conversation in Richland Center. For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A La Nina climate pattern could mean a return to what feels like a normal Wisconsin winter this year. UW-Madison professor Jonathan Martin says because we've had such a mild winters in recent years, that even a mild La Nina might seem like a more severe stretch of winter weather. Martin says the La Nina also has a lot of unpredictability, but we should still expect stretches with very cold temps and more wet weather. Martin says we could experience the effects of the La Nina into March. From decorations and candles to flowing costumes, Halloween fun can quickly turn frightening if fire safety is overlooked. According to the National Fire Protection Association, between 2019 and 2023, an annual average of 832 home structure fires began with decorations, resulting in 3 deaths, 28 injuries, and $17 million in direct property damage. Nearly half of these fires occurred because the decorations were too close to a heat source. Approximately one-third started with candles. NFPA offers these tips and guidelines for celebrating Halloween with fire safety in mind. When choosing a costume, stay away from long trailing fabric. Give children flashlights to carry for lighting or glow sticks as part of their costume. Dried flowers, corn stalks, and crepe paper catch fire easily. Keep all decorations away from open flames and other heat sources. Only use battery-operated candles or glow sticks and jack-o'-lanterns. If you choose to use real candles, be sure to place them well away from anything that can burn and far enough out of the way of trick-or-treaters, doorsteps, walkways, and yards. And make sure all smoke alarms in the home are working. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrased words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. Our high right around 59 this afternoon with wind out of the east at around 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers likely. Our low in the upper 30s to low 40s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome director of Now More Yes, Max Hay. Then Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas and I talk new movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Matt and Aaron here is coming up next here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane and Greg will welcome in Todd Alba at 9:35. And then just after 10 a.m., Corrine Hendrickson, candidate for state Senate and a member of Main Street Alliance, will be joining them again just after 10 o'clock this morning for Matt and Aaron on Air. Later on the Maggie Dawn Show at 4 o'clock, Angela Lang, the executive director at Block, will be part of the program. Again, head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Ruth Conniff joins us now from the Wisconsin Examiner, and we'll be talking about a few different things the Examiner is following, including her latest column, Wisconsin School Children Become a 2026 Campaign Issue in the Worst Possible Way. We'll get to that and some of the other stories we're following with Ruth now. Ruth Conniff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thanks.
It's good to have you here, and we'll come to the article in just a bit, but first I wanted to mention that the Examiner, like everybody else, is covering the story today about the basically monster hike in health insurance premiums that's coming, and it was a case of Governor Evers, along with the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, putting out specific numbers yesterday, which really takes it, Ruth, beyond, you know, some kind of a ethereal, you know, thing about, well, the things might happen. These are the things that are actually going to happen to these kinds of households in these kinds of counties. It was a very specific illustration of the pain that lies ahead.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. My deputy Eric Gunn covered that yesterday. He went down to Milwaukee and saw the press conference that Evers held down there, and is reporting all the numbers from the Wisconsin Commissioner of Insurance this morning on our website at wisconsinexaminer.com. And it's really pretty frightening to look at the kinds of health insurance hikes that people are facing. And as Tammy Baldwin said yesterday, many people are simply going to have to drop their insurance because they don't have the money to cover these kinds of expansions. It's very uneven across the state.
Yes.
You know, there's, you know, some people are looking at just a 10% hike, but that is the minority of residents of the state of Wisconsin, because, you know, overall 39% in Waukesha County, up to as high as 800% for a 60-year-old couple in Barron County. So it's very, very significant.
It is. And I urge people to look at the articles and more to find out, just to give that one example in dollars and cents in Barron County, if you're a 60-year-old, you're a couple making $85,000 a year, you're still 5 years away from Medicare, Social Security, you know, full benefits, or 7 years away, I think, at that age, you're currently paying $340 a month for a silver level plan. Starting Saturday, instead of $340, it'll be $3,103. That's $33,000 a year that you would have to have lying around, or decide to go without health insurance. And that's where, again, many people are going to go. And Ruth, you and I have been doing this long enough. We remember the news stories pre-Affordable Care Act of people going without health insurance and the, you know, the financial and life tragedies that befell people.
Yeah, it's been such a significant improvement in quality of life for health insurance to be more accessible to millions and millions of people across this country. And, you know, the big issue right now that is holding up the end of the government shutdown is that Democrats are insisting that Congress fix the sunset of Affordable Care Act insurance subsidies, which is about to hit. So, you know, since 2021, people have been able to afford their insurance better because of this, you know, this boost from the government covering healthcare, the insurance premiums that people are otherwise paying. And that's about to go away. And so, you know, there's just this political war on about who's to blame for the government shutdown. Is it Republicans who control every branch of government, or is it Democrats who don't want to pass a resolution to reopen the government without fixing this problem? And this is the problem now, what we're looking at today, this announcement in Wisconsin of these massive skyrocketing premiums for people who are getting getting their health care through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. So, you know, I think that's the thing that people kind of need to focus on, not so much the who's to blame battle that's going on in Washington, but the actual dollars and cents problem that people across Wisconsin are going to face starting Saturday when they can no longer afford health care.
We're talking to Ruth Conniff, editor-in-chief at the Wisconsin Examiner, and I can't ever have a conversation with Ruth without talking a bit about migrant farm labor in Wisconsin. And her book, Milked, is required reading to understand the immigration crisis in this nation from a Wisconsin and dairy industry standpoint. You did have an article or a column earlier this month about tariffs and the immigration crackdown taking a toll on Wisconsin farmers and, of course, their farm laborers. How would you best describe from an overview where we are, you know, three coming up on 4 weeks into this shutdown from the standpoint of Wisconsin farms and specifically Wisconsin's dairy industry?
Well, the shutdown is really bad for farmers. And one of the things that it's delaying is Trump's promised subsidies for farms that are supposed to make up for the impact of tariffs. I mean, farmers in Wisconsin and across the country are paying really high prices for fertilizer, for farm equipment because of the trade wars that Trump started with his tariffs. And then on top of that, China in May stopped buying all soybeans from the United States. Well, China is the biggest soybean customer in Wisconsin, and that's a major crop in our state. So farmers are unsure whether they will be able to sell their soybean crop, which is, you know, a record crop this year at all. It's harvest time and their biggest customer is not available. So, you know, this has been a huge problem for farmers. It has caused farmers across the country in sort of the main national survey of Farmer Outlook to say that they are pessimistic about their economic prospects right now. And that's, you know, that's brutal. And then on top of that, we have this immigration crackdown. So farmers are hanging on for this subsidy that's supposed to make up for the impact of tariffs. That's what Trump has promised them. But, you know, as a former USDA official I interviewed about this said, it's not even robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's robbing Peter to pay Peter to create a subsidy out of what Trump says is the revenue coming in from tariffs. Well, that revenue is what farmers are paying in high prices for farm equipment and fertilizer. Trump is promising to turn around and give them a bailout using their own money. You know, what farmers want is markets that work for them to be able to sell their products and make a living. And that is not on the horizon right now. You know, there's a vague promise that somehow tariffs are going to improve that situation, are going to counteract the long-term effects of, you know, global economic, you know, selling your product at a low price on a global marketplace is hard. And that is a problem that needs to be addressed, but it's not at all clear how this chaotic economic situation that we're in now with trade wars and tariffs is advancing the ball on that. So that's where they are currently with the shutdown. And then on top of that, the threat of mass deportation is a big, big deal for Wisconsin because our dairy industry depends on the labor of immigrants who are not allowed to get a visa through our current system because year-round farm work does not qualify for a visa. The H-2A visa, which is a farm work visa that most farm workers who can get a visa use, is seasonal only. So if you have a year-round industry, it is automatically disqualified from that visa. So here we have an industry in the dairy industry that for decades has depended 60 to 90% of the labor is immigrant labor. They can't qualify for a visa because Congress has never fixed that system and created a year-round visa. And so now we're threatening to deport all these guys. But what's going to happen to our dairy industry if we lose 60 to 90% of our labor? It can't survive that. So that's a major crisis.
It can't sustain that. And there are people that could be working on these things, like Congressman Derek Van Orden, who's got a very dairy heavy congressional district, or Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's been in office in Congress and the legislature long enough. And instead, switching gears to a different story that you're following, Tom Tiffany, who's now running for governor, was there on the steps of the Capitol late last week talking about his outrage over a Cap Times investigation tracking more than 200 cases of alleged child sexual abuse by Wisconsin teachers and the way that these cases were handled by the State Department of Public Instruction. But again, this is me editorializing for a moment. This is Rich coming from a guy who, you know, has not exactly been calling for the release of the Epstein files. So you do a wonderful job of putting this into perspective, of saying, look, these are serious allegations. There's some serious cases here, but let's not be fooled by the outright politicization of this matter from certain politicians as well.
Yeah, I'm really dismayed by what has happened with that story. The Cap Times spent a year doing an investigation in which they found these 200 cases. And in many cases, the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin allowed teachers to give up their licenses voluntarily and then dropped these investigations against them. The suggestion in the Cap Times story is that this amounts to a cover-up, or, you know, hiding, shielding is the word they used, these cases. It's a little more complicated than that. Jill Underley, the state superintendent, argues that teachers who give up their teaching license are now in a national database, and they're taken away from children. And furthermore, it's not DPI's job to continue to investigate people who are no longer in the profession. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. The problem is Jill Underley went to get an award from her alma mater in Indiana instead of showing up for the legislative hearing on this issue, prompted by that Cap Times investigation, which really gives the impression that she doesn't care very much about something that is becoming a major scandal. And is, frankly, you mentioned Tom Tiffany and his press conference at the Capitol, it's going to be a big campaign issue. And it feeds into this political environment in which for many, many years, Republicans and the incredibly powerful school choice lobby in Wisconsin have been pushing the message that public schools have failed, that we should take the money that we spend on public education, pull it out of the public schools, and hand it over to private school operators. And that is increasingly a huge problem for the finances of public education in our state. So that's kind of the political backdrop. You know, basically, this is a gift to the Tom Tiffany campaign and to Republicans who are running in 2026 to say, look at these terrible teachers. You know, they're sexual predators and the Department of Public Instruction is hiding this from you. And it's actually not quite that, but it's really important to push back because, you know, for one thing, the private schools that Republicans want to channel money into have zero oversight.
They're less accountable.
The teachers don't even need to have a license. So the teachers in private schools could be doing anything. We don't know. And the concerns raised in that Cap Times investigation, lack of transparency, lack of accountability, lack of a record that shows the public what's going on with these investigations, that's going to be much worse in the private schools. We're just not going to see what's happening there. And we don't hold these teachers accountable. So that's, you know, it's a narrative. It's an unfortunate narrative that contributes to the destruction of our once great public school system in Wisconsin. But Underley is really, she really shares some blame for this. She needs to show up.
She, if I recall right, she turned down request interviews by the Cap Times prior to this coming out,
she herself claimed it would be a conflict of interest for her to talk to the Cap Times, which is silly. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for her deputies at DPI who showed up very well prepared at this legislative hearing. But the news out of that hearing was that Underley herself was too busy, you know, getting an award from her alma mater to come in person.
Right. So, and look, I'm leaving room for, because I don't put it past the Republican members to, you know, to understand that Underley already had a previously scheduled trip and may have monkeyed around with the schedule. To me, the original sin was Jill Underley not sitting down with a reporter or making every deputy, you know, imaginable available to do this. And like you said, it's opened up the door for all kinds of You know, politics to be played with something, which is exactly why your headline says that the children have become a campaign issue in the worst possible way. You can read this full column and much more at the Wisconsin Examiner. Head over to wisconsinexaminer.com. Ruth Conniff, editor-in-chief, thank you very much for some much-needed background on this. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Pat. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ruth. We will have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Civic Media.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
News, weather, and sports for Richland Center right here on WRCE, streaming 24/7 online at WRCE.fm.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's start to wrap things up here. First, by acknowledging that I may have to change my coffee intake, because these single cups,
yeah,
that I had after breaking the coffee pot earlier this morning, once you get the measurements figured out, this is pretty good.
Yeah,
I might have to. Right now, I have a hot plate right in front of me here to keep the, you know, because I'll pour it out of the coffee pot and it'll get cold otherwise. I might just have to put a single serving coffee maker right here in front of me. And it'll just be like I'm a lab rat with a pellet dispenser, and I just keep hitting it for another shot of caffeine, because this coffee is pretty good from the single size. Boy. I'm totally understanding the cup. The cups are bad. Okay. The little Keurig cups, they fill up the landfills. Get the reusable ones, put in the right amount of coffee, the right amount of water. And I could stay caffeinated. I could do this all the way through the rest of the day here. Give Todd Alba the day off. You know, I'll just keep going.
Really? You think you can do 5 hours on air?
With this much coffee? Yeah, probably. Anyway.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show. I'm Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, the host.
I've got in front of me something I picked up at the medical supply store yesterday. Yes, I was at the medical supply store because I'm old now and needed supplies for my CPAP machine, which is, you know, it has totally addressed the sleep apnea. It's been wonderful. But when you have to go to the same place where you would get your commodes and some of the other things that you need, you see things like this newsletter from the Aging and Disability Resource Center, the ADRC of Eau Claire County. And there's a big article in the front about Medicare Part D open enrollment. Yeah. You know, we just talked about open enrollment for plans under the Affordable Care Act. That begins this Saturday. But we are already in the open enrollment period for Medicare Part D or Medicare Advantage. And it's not something that I need yet, but I have been asked by a certain person who birthed me many years ago to assist her in finding a new Medicare Advantage plan. And I have learned so much about it that I wanted to share it. And that is why we have a guest coming in on Thursday to tell us more. And that her name is Ingrid Cunninger, and she is from the, let me get the title right here, the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. Again, the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources is going to talk to us all about Medicare Part D, whether it's for you or if you are the adult child or caregiver of somebody, and finding the plan that works out best for you. So again, that is Thursday morning. Can I give you the bare bones outline of the show that I need to do after this? Maybe it's my retirement project.
There's a show after this.
Whatever my next thing is going to be.
Oh, you don't mean like in the next hour. Like, you mean
No. Jane and Greg are safe. They're good. Okay. But this is something I talked about with Mark Jacob a lot in the early days when he was doing our segment on Fridays. Was we need something that just refutes the talking points that we are fed by the right-wing media system all day long. And it started with a lot of what we're hearing now with the government shutdown is why I want to bring this up again. But it started with Mark Jacob, and we were always talking about how Meet the Press especially, but cable news channels in general, would have these politicians on live, ask them questions. They wouldn't answer the questions. They'd, you know, run out the clock, and pretty soon the host is like, well, that's all the time we have. Thank you, and never really challenge them. And I said, we need to stop doing this. We need to stop putting politicians on live that you know are going to lie to you or not answer the question, and instead let other people do it. And then instead of having live guests on Sunday mornings, is you play clips of these politicians on other shows, and then you break it down and say, here's where they're lying, or here's where they're mistaken, or here's where they're being misleading, and just do something like that. And it has occurred to me, especially looking at the comment section, today, as we've talked about SNAP benefits, as we've talked about the Affordable Care Act, that there is ample room for a show that simply takes on talking points. I know what other people have proposed. They've said what Democrats need to do is they need to have a daily thing. They need to have, like, Pete Buttigieg needs to go out and do a daily briefing every day that refutes what Republicans are doing and pushes progressive talking points, and people would watch that. Yes, perhaps. And perhaps Democrats do need to be more aggressive in their messaging, but it also runs the risk of just creating another media bubble. There are people in their right-wing media bubble. There would be a lot of, you know, progressives in that media bubble, and what would you really get out of it? I think there's room somewhere in the middle. If only this is where, again, I'm sad that Tim Russert is no longer with us, but somebody of his caliber who would not have live guests on and would simply play these clips and say, okay, here's the real deal on this. And then you take it a step further and you say, now, to be fair, here's what that politician would say in return. So the politician says something, we spell out what the facts are, that politician's going to have something else to say. So you'd say, to be fair, here's what that person would say, and here's the comeback to that. And I just feel like if you did that just simply with tape clips and with fact-based information, you could have something that is, it's not ha-ha like The Daily Show, where they play back clips and you know, tell you some fact-based stuff, but then they play it for laughs. But this is much more informative. So I would call the show To Be Fair, and we would just do a call-and-response show kind of like that. And now I've given it all away, and somebody else is going to do it and make a lot of money off it.
I like this a lot. I'm pretty sure that you just kind of explained the plot of Newsroom in season one. Just a thought.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just a couple of years later that you do that. All right. No, thanks for bursting my bubble there, Parker. Appreciate it.
It's a great idea. I like it. You should do it, Pat.
I appreciate how delusional you get when you're under the weather like this. So get a nap. Feel better soon, and we'll do this all again tomorrow. Or if I open up this camera and I don't see you on the other side, you know, then we'll know.
Yeah,
and
good luck.
We'll hope Luke Mathers can drive really fast to get here. So, all right, feel better, man. I'll talk to you in the morning. We'll see all of you tomorrow morning as well, bright and early here up north, 6 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Food banks opening up across the country as federal workers now hit day 28 without a paycheck. Food assistance for low-income Americans is set to run out this weekend without a compromise on reopening the government. Hurricane Melissa set to pummel Jamaica as a catastrophic Category 5 storm, the strongest ever to lash the island.
Melissa approaching as a Category 5 hurricane overnight with winds up to 175 miles per hour. Local officials telling people in low-lying areas to get out now. The United Cajun Navy, formed after Hurricane Katrina, ready to assist.
We have folks on the ground waiting to take assessments, let us know what the needs are.
Aid groups from the U.S. already in Jamaica say they're planning for long-term airport closures. Tourists are stranded, forced to ride out the storm and foot the bill.
ABC's Lana Moise, Game 4 of the World Series tonight, and game 3 just ended a few hours ago, 18 innings long. This is ABC News.